It'll challenge you. We're trying to come up with a name this morning. I had four different names for things that it could have been out. But as I was reading through it the last time, I thought, you know what? It really comes down to the choice. And it's a choice that probably most of us have made. If not, today would be a great day to do that. But it's a choice to follow Jesus, right? We've made a commitment unto Him. We yielded our life to Him at some point, either at a young age or some people a little bit older in life or different times, but they came to the point where they came to the end of themselves. They realized, I'm on my way to hell and I need a Savior. I need Jesus. And we opened ourselves up to Christ. We yielded ourselves to Him and say, Jesus, I invite You to be the Lord of my life. I ask You to come in to be a part of my life and to be my Lord. Okay? And I think of that sometimes when we think about, you know, when we receive Christ or we accept Him, that a lot of times people want to accept Him as their Savior, kind of their ticket to heaven kind of thing. But what about the Lord part? You know, that's the part that really matters. I mean, they both matter. I mean, don't get me wrong. Lord and Savior both matter. But sometimes we forget about the Lord part and we don't yield our life to Him. You're going to hear something. I'm not sure where we're going to go with it yet. There's a couple different things God is speaking to lay out for kind of a series. But one of them is on transformation. And the transformation that takes place in our life as we grow in Christ. And we'll probably get to that in a week or two. And some other things on kind of the oasis itself, actually, this body of Christ. What do we believe? I mean, how many know, if you sat down and had a conversation with Margie and I, and how many know, you know, where Margie and I are at on certain things? And I was praying, and it's something that God gave to me at the same time God was giving something different to Margie on partnership. And the fellowship that we have with people in the church and the way that God can use something. Now, you know, you talk about, you know, not wanting to just build a ministry, but it's through a ministry like this where people fellowship, connect, to get closer to God and have that fellowship that they need. And so being able to connect all that with the Oasis and how we do it and who we are and what we stand for, that's something else that's coming in the future. We're going to lay out for you in the next, I'll say a few weeks here, because it's not that I don't want to commit to it, but I want to make sure that we have things in order and do it in God's timing. But we're going to lay out some things on partnering with Margie and I in this ministry and what that means exactly as far as being a partner of the Oasis. You know, we're just, I don't know, for lack of a better term, we're just calling it the Oasis Partnership or Oasis Partner Luncheons or Oasis Partner Breakfast or, you know, whatever we have when we get to this point. So just kind of giving you some little insights into it. And many of you know that's my way. It's the way that God works with me. Sometimes He lays things out and He'll give me a little taste of something, and it's because it's coming and I need to start preparing myself. Because you know what happens if we cry out to God in worship and we say, Lord, have Your way. Lord, pour out Your Spirit. You know what happens? Change happens. Okay? And sometimes if we're not into change, which most people aren't, we're going to resist that change instead of saying, here I am, God, have Your way, change me. Sometimes we get to a point where we're just kind of resisting without even knowing it. And I don't want to do that. As we move forward into new things with the Oasis, I'm going to share a little bit this morning on it as we talk about kind of the direction for ministry and those kind of things. But I want you to get used to the idea that God is up to something in Rawlins, Wyoming. He's got some things that we're going to do to be able to get beyond these walls so we can love on each other here, but to be able to get out there and to really connect with people and see more and more people come to Jesus. So there's your message before the message, right? Let's pray. Father, we do thank You this morning that, Father, we are here as yielded vessels. Father, we do want You to come into our life. And Lord, I pray for change. Lord, I pray that we grow in Christ. I pray we grow in an understanding of our Lord and Savior, that our definition of You as Savior is expanded to be more of a Lord, that You lord over us, our life is yielded to You, that we submit to You in every possible area for our relationships and our finances, for our spiritual growth and development, for our health, for every area, Lord. We yield that unto You as our Lord and our Master, our Savior, our Redeemer, Father, and we give it to You. This morning I pray, Lord, help us to just understand more of the choice that is laid out there by You for not just us, but for the entire world. And that, Father, we can help people come to the point where they make the choice for Jesus. Father, we receive You, we thank You, and pray You for it. In Jesus' name we say, amen. Amen. So let's talk about the choice. Okay, the choice. Okay, how many of you would like to impact the world for the kingdom of God? Anybody? I got one, two. Okay, a few people want to impact the kingdom. Okay, impact this world that we live in for the kingdom. Okay, you'd like to have opportunities to be able to minister the gospel or just to share, not necessarily, I won't get into that, but just to minister the gospel, changing people's lives for the better. Okay, we know that there are people around us that maybe they have an experience with Christ. Margie and I'd say many times, we're reading books together, and one of them that we're talking about reading through right now has to do with going from living from miracle to miracle, where my life is a disaster. I need a miracle of God to help get this done or help pay this bill or help get this. And going from that, where you're constantly needing a miracle in your life, to just living in the blessing, okay, living in the good life, living in the joy and the peace, and not having this up and down craziness where you keep having to kind of bottom out before you'll cry out to God. Okay, I cry out to God every day. Margie cries out every day. And we have this kind of a relationship with Jesus that we walk in the blessing the majority of the time. Not that we never need miracles, because we have and we do. But it's for the most part, I'd rather just live in the favor and the blessing. Okay, well, that's part of this, knowing that we have people around us that are still, you know, they're going out, and man, we watch them spiraling, and we know they're going to tank, and hopefully they'll come back to Jesus or whatever it is. But we want to share Christ with them. We want them to be able to know the stability that comes through just walking in the blessing. And I'm sure in this room, for the people that are close to you, okay, whether it's your family, your friends, your coworkers, your acquaintances, you know, many people you just kind of know by face, and you nod at them, and hey, how's it going? Okay, these people, you want them to come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Okay, you want them to have more of the peace in life. You want them to walk in the joyfulness and the encouragement that is there simply because you shared something with them. Okay, so you shared something, namely Christ, with them. I know that we want to impact the lives of those around us, but it seems like that so often we're afraid of coming off rude, okay, or being pushy. You know, anybody been called pushy in your life for being a Christian? Okay, I've been called pushy before, and why do you got to bring your Bible to work? You know, whatever. People get after you about whatever. Okay, you're always wanting to talk about God, or you're always wanting to do this with Jesus, okay? And you don't want to come across as being rude or being pushy or being a Bible thumper, okay? If just because we're pointing people to Jesus as the solution for, it's like Margie shared this, you know, Jesus is your solution. Okay, whatever it is you need and are asking for, Jesus is that. So how do we get to that point? How do we share Christ and help people come into the kingdom and to grow in their relationship with God without maybe feeling like we're being rude? Well, it all starts with your heart. Okay, it starts with you and your heart. Being humble before the Lord, being not only a willing vessel, okay, that's, you have to be willing first. If you're not willing to share Christ, you'll never share Christ. But you be willing first, but also one that is prepared. Okay, not with all the answers, okay, but with an acknowledgement of Christ in you. Okay, just an acknowledgement, Christ is in me, and you can share that much without having every answer. You know, I believe that we are entering and already entered into the beginnings of a new season for the Church of Jesus Christ. Okay, worldwide church, okay, kind of stuff, that the church is changing. God is, you know, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, but the church is filled with people who aren't the same yesterday, today, and forever, okay, and people have kind of changed and shifted their desires and thoughts and different things. We see movement, so to speak, come through the body of Christ. Well, I believe that now this new season for the Church of Jesus Christ is coming to fruition. Okay, and that's part in part why our vision for this ministry is changing, to sort of adapt to what God is doing in our midst right now. Okay, I think you can get stuck in it, and sometimes that's what real denominational stuff. Sometimes they have all their denominational rules and regs, and this is, oh no, we can't do that. That's outside of the rules. And you can get stuck in something where God is trying to move. God is trying to help you to get to that higher level. You know, in the as we are right now, and I believe more in the future, we're going to be known as a unified church that loves people, okay? And one that transforms lives, where people come in and they're not the same, okay, anymore, that lives are changed. I'm seeing it more and more already in people's lives, even in this room. I see what God is doing, okay? But we're going to see that not just with the people that are here, okay, and to have that kind of a love here, but also for the people outside of these doors, to have a passion and a zeal to want to see them come into the kingdom of God, to want to see their lives begin this transformational process. You know, God is not willing that any should perish. That's a scripture. Okay, and He wants to use you and I to reach those people that are sort of on the fence. Maybe they're, you know, have had some church stuff, or maybe they've talked to God a little bit here and there, but they really don't know Jesus in the fullest sense. They have not received Him and made Him Lord and Savior. Okay, well, God wants to use people like you and I to be able to reach those people that are on the fence and sort of pull them on to the right side, right? Not throwing them down, but we're going to pull them into the kingdom of God, get them into the right side where they're in with the kingdom, in with the King. Okay, see, the people in the world around you, okay, all around us, the people out there have enlisted a thousand different excuses as to why they don't need a relationship with God right now. Maybe in the future, you know, some of them will give you different things. They'll tell you, well, you know, we were hurt by a church at one time, or, well, I quit going to church because my friend quit going. They moved away and I just didn't, you know, have a ride, or didn't feel like I should go anymore. Or maybe they just got too busy, you know, kind of put God on a back burner. Life got happening and all of a sudden I just can't be there on Sunday and I need to get back with God. You know I should. And that's what some people are in, that category. They're on that fence where I know I should get back with God, or I know I kind of want my kids to grow up in a church, or, you know, I want to be a part of something, but I'm just kind of holding off because, well, you know, God just hasn't hit number one in my priority list yet. You know, He's kind of down on like 4 or 5 or 19. You know, He's in there, but somewhere just not number one yet. You know, people making excuses really isn't anything new. Okay, it's been going on for centuries, millennia, right? Thousands of years, people have been making excuses. But one thing I noticed in the scriptures is that Jesus told parables and shared with us some stories to help us understand what it is that we should do when we start hearing those excuses. When we start seeing people saying, well, I would, but, you know, or I need to go do this, but, you know, or, and as soon as we start hearing that and seeing that, that we should know what to do. Okay, we've been, see so many things that Jesus taught. At one point, He had been invited to the house of a Pharisee. Okay, and He watched, okay, like Jesus did. He watched what goes on around Him. Okay, and then He uses some of that as a teaching moment to help people understand that salvation is for those that are broken and willingly come to get saved and healed by Him. And salvation is for those who are like that, that we go and get and bring to Him. Okay, we have a role to play in this. It's not just my role as a pastor to try to get people into church. Okay, we can set up and hold the feast, but it doesn't mean people are going to come to the feast, right? It's a matter of going and getting people. Let's read some scriptures. I'm going to read a lot of scripture this morning. I hope you're okay with that. Luke chapter 14, starting in verse 12, is where we're going to start this morning. Luke 14, 12, we'll read through 27. This is Jesus talking. I told you He'd been invited to a Pharisee's house, and then He kind of has this aha moment, and He says, here's a great teaching moment. Listen to what He says. He says to them that bade Him, when thou makest a dinner and or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and recompense be made thee. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. And verse 15 says, and when one of them that sat at meat with Him heard these things, he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper, and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came, and he showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is still room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Okay, your Lord wants you to go get people and compel them to come into the feast that he has prepared for them. Okay, and Jesus isn't casually mentioning this as a directive. He's like, you know, once in a while, if you think about it, maybe kind of, sort of, hopefully you'll go and tell somebody about me. Okay, Jesus doesn't present the gospel in such a way. He says, go and compel them to come in to the feast that's been prepared for them. In Jesus' very next breath, he says this in verse 25. He says, And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and he said unto them, If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. You know, laying your life down and taking up the cross to follow Jesus is not a suggestion. Okay, it is literally a mandate. It is an absolute. It is a put in place thing by Christ himself saying, this is the only right option. You know, it's pretty apparent in the world today that many people believe that accepting Christ and serving God through Jesus and through the Holy Spirit and walking with God, they think it's just optional. Okay, like it's kind of a, you know, that's an add-on, that religion thing, you know, that Jesus stuff, you know, that's great for you, but I don't really need that. And they've kind of got an attitude that it's not that important. It's not really real. It's not something they have to have. And yet, I'm going to show you scriptures today, and you probably already know some. Jesus didn't make it optional. There was no other choice. There was only one choice, and Jesus laid that out. Okay, people like to wait and see. You know, well, maybe I'll feel more like serving God at some point in the future. You know, maybe you know, I could just do my own thing for a while. And I've seen people where they kind of avoid the command and the call of God on their life, kind of like Jonah getting in the wrong boat and going the opposite direction. Okay, they know that it's there, but yeah, it's not the right time for me. I think I'll go this direction and try that for a while first, and maybe at some point I'll come back to it. Okay, I'll tell you, I got called out this week and got called to the hospital to pray with somebody. It was a couple, and the husband had a cardiac arrest and didn't get services in time and those kind of things. And anyway, went into kind of a brain dead, you know, the brain wasn't functioning, that kind of stuff. They put him on machines and were kind of keeping him going. And they called me and said, can you come and be with this woman and her husband? Her husband's really not here anymore, but she really wants somebody to come and pray. And so we were halfway home to Fort Steele, and we turned around, and I came and dropped Margie off here at the church. I went down to the hospital, and I went in, and I prayed with this lady and her husband. Her husband was, I'll just say it, he had lost color, okay? He wasn't there anymore. They had taken him off all the machines and all that kind of stuff. And I prayed with that woman, and she cried on my shoulder, and I comforted her and helped her. I did what I could. We met with the coroner. We did the stuff and got her set up. And helped her get a hotel and those kind of things. And, you know, it stands out to me, and I'm just sharing that because that woman kept saying, how could this happen now? How could it happen? You know, he's such a good man. They were believers, praise God. And they knew where they were going. You know, she knew that he was with Jesus, and we could pray and thank God for that. But it was so hard on her because one moment they were on vacation, traveling through Rollins, Wyoming, going to get a hotel room, and 2 minutes later, her husband is no longer here. And it was so eye-opening to me that we do not know when our time is coming. I'll tell you, I went home and I came in here and just gave my wife a hug. Kissed her. I love my wife, and I don't want to go through that kind of a moment. I know we're all going to pass at some point, but man, you just don't know when it's going to happen. Okay, and that's what with so many people in this world, they're waiting. They're waiting, you know, well, maybe I'll choose Jesus when the time is right. Well, guess what? When your body freezes up because your heart just stopped, you don't have time to do all that stuff. There's no, hey, I need to give my life to Jesus. And it's, you might be calling out, hopefully, to Jesus, but, you know, you don't have time for that. You know, we don't always get that choice. You know, I know that sometimes we want to wait and see what direction God wants to go before we'll commit to it, but really, it's going to be okay. Just go with God from the beginning. You know, I came across a passage of Scripture, and here's what got us started going this direction for this message. I came across a passage of Scripture that made me stop and think. Okay, I literally said, whoa, what if that happened today? Okay, and I want to get to that. I was looking up Scriptures that talked about seeking the Lord. Okay, talked about the humility that goes along with being completely dependent on God. Okay, and I found many instances, of course, where we're instructed to seek the Lord. Okay, and then I was reminded as I'm reading about this of the blessings that come from seeking the Lord and the consequences that come from not seeking the Lord. It just became very apparent. I want to show you a couple of those verses, and then we'll get to the one that made me really stop. 1 Chronicles 28:9 says this. Says, and thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the Lord thy God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches the hearts and understands all the imagination of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. And again, 2 Chronicles 12, verses 13 and 14. So King Rehoboam strengthened himself in Jerusalem and reigned. For Rehoboam was 140 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord had chosen out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there. And his mother's name was Naamah an Ammonitess. And he did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. Okay, now, seeking the Lord is good. Not seeking the Lord is bad, right? That's simple enough to grasp for most church-going people. Yes, we know we should seek the Lord. But then I came across the passage that made me stop and think. It's when God's people were literally mandated to seek Him. Okay, watch this. 2 Chronicles 15, verses 1 and 2. It says, and the Holy Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Obed, and he went out to meet Asa. And he said unto him, hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you be with him. And if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Asa then, okay, chose to seek and serve the Lord. He said, I want to be one of those that seeks the Lord. But he took it to what some might consider an extreme. Okay, and see how this grabs you, if it grabs you like it did me. 2 Chronicles 15:10 says, so they gathered themselves together at Jerusalem in the third month in the 15th year of the reign of Asa. And they offered unto the Lord the same time of the spoils which they had brought, 700 oxen and 7,000 sheep. How's that for an offering? And they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul. that whosoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. And they swear unto the Lord with a loud voice and with shouting and with trumpets and with cornets. And all of Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and sought him with all their whole desire, and he was found of them, and the Lord gave them rest round about. Do you see that? A God-fearing king made a national mandate that you either worship the Almighty God or you'll be put to death. And the whole nation rejoiced and agreed to it. Okay? Blew the trumpets, had basically a big party because, praise God, we have entered into a covenant to seek the Lord. And they that don't seek the Lord will be snuffed out. Okay, what would you say or do if a king or a president made such a decree today? Okay, what if we had the president of the United States says, we now have a new rule that all must serve the Lord Jesus Christ and him only. And if you don't, you'll be put in jail or put to death. Think about it. What would you do? How would you respond to that? Would you be okay with it? I mean, cool, I believe. What if it was flipped around the other way just a little bit? And say the United States was taken over by a Muslim nation, and they said that you must renounce Jesus and serve Allah, or else. Now, how would you respond? Things like that have happened before. And things like that are going to happen again. If you remember in the Bible, Daniel is a great story. He was thrown into the lion's den because King Darius made a rule that you could not pray or couldn't make a petition to anyone but him. Right? But if you remember that story, King Darius actually liked Daniel, didn't want Daniel to get in trouble. It was some other guys that kind of tricked the king into making this rule, but Daniel couldn't not pray to his God, so Daniel kept doing what Daniel does, and Daniel got in trouble, got thrown in a lion's den, and he spends the night there, and the next morning the king goes, and Daniel survived the night, and the lions are there, and it was like, praise God. And you know what the king did? He threw all those guys into that lion's den that were trying to get Daniel in trouble, and he says, this nation, I decree that we will worship the God of Daniel, because he is the true and living God. Okay, so what the devil meant for harm, for bad, for snuffing out, that, you know, you're all going to have to turn from this God and worship the king or whoever it was. And God turned that whole situation around for good and says, no, we're going to throw them in the lion's den. And now the king comes out with a new decree that says, all those in my kingdom will serve the Almighty God, the one true God. Okay, Jesus warned us that even in our day, there are some trying to deceive us into not worshiping the one true God. So you have to have it settled. Okay, in your heart, even now, what you're going to do when that day comes. Okay, Jesus said that you will be hated for his name's sake. He said that they will throw you in jail for his name's sake. They will even kill you for his name's sake. When he was asked about the end times, you know, that season, that period, many think we're there right now, but it's that season just before the return of Christ, when he comes to separate the goats from the sheep. Okay, there is a separation, right? Heaven, hell kind of thing. Jesus tells us what it will be like at that time. It's in Matthew chapter 24. And again, we're going to read a little bit of the Bible this morning. Matthew 24, 1 through 14. It says, and Jesus went out, and he departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto him, Take heed that no man deceive you. Okay, that tells you there's going to be deception in the world. Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. For you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. In verse 9, Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Again in John, the way he put it in John 16:1, he says, Jesus said, These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended, that you shall put they shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time comes that whosoever kills you will think that he does God service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. Okay, he's describing a time when people will be so self-righteous that they think a message that is so narrow-minded as to think that Jesus Christ is the only way, that those people are evil. Okay, to say that Jesus is the way is going to be considered evil. Okay, but didn't Jesus say exactly that? That I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except by me. Okay, the true gospel of Jesus Christ as it's relayed by him, as it was relayed by Paul and Peter and John and the rest of the early church disciples, was really a decree that Jesus is to be your Lord, and to not serve him will only lead unto eternal damnation in hell. Isn't that their message? Isn't that the gospel of Christ, that we're all going to perish in hell except for Jesus and those that believe on him? Okay, the only difference in the decree that they made that Jesus Christ must be worshipped and served, the only decree that makes it different, the only part that makes it different, is that you're not instantly put to death because of not following Jesus. Right? Don't we have a world around us filled with people that, who needs that Jesus stuff? They didn't get put in jail. They didn't get struck dead. Okay, they're not under that ASA covenant, right? Or they don't think they are. But that same choice of worship God or perish is still in place. That same choice has been laid out in front of all of mankind. Okay, God literally made a decree that Christianity is the only acceptable religion, and anyone who does not serve Jesus is condemned to an eternity in hell. Okay, that was God's mandate. You know, we tend to think, well, everybody should have a choice, right? We should have a choice whether we want to go to heaven or hell, right? We should have a choice. That choice has been given. They've been given that choice. It is right in front of every single person that has heard of Jesus Christ. It is in front of them today. That's why the scripture said, Jesus said, when this gospel has been preached throughout all the nations and all have heard, then the end will come. Okay? Anybody that has heard it has no more excuse. You can't say, well, it doesn't apply to me. Well, it does, because you've heard the gospel. God already put that choice out in front of people. You choose Jesus and go to heaven, or you reject Jesus and go to hell. You know, over the years, I've had the opportunity to be with many people in the last moments of their life on earth, okay, kind of their last breath. Okay, and I share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. I tell them about salvation through just simple faith in Jesus Christ, that the grace of God has been given through Jesus, and here's how it works. And I explain that to people. And I had one lady that she said, oh, you know, I asked him, I said, so this is the gospel. Do you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? And she said, oh, yes, I believe. Okay, she was 90-some years old, 94, I think. Okay, and she said, yes, I believe. I had another guy that I shared the gospel with again, that I presented it and said that, you know, do you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you believe in salvation through Him, that you're saved by your faith in Him? He was very weak, laying, literally waiting to die at the time. And I shared with him, and he was weak, so he just nods his head and says, yes. Praise God. The angels leaped and rejoiced at that moment. I had another guy that I shared with that I presented the gospel message. I had known him for quite a while, not sure where he was, and so I just presented the whole message and shared Jesus, and I said, do you want to receive Christ as your Savior right here and now? You know, you're in trouble health-wise. And he just shook his head and said, no, thank you. He died the next day. We're given that choice. Okay, some people are given a choice by a guy like me at their last moment. Okay, many people don't get that opportunity. We have to make that choice, and we have to help people see that that choice is worth making now, because it comes with benefits when you seek the Lord. Okay, when you're after Him and you're constantly in His presence. Okay, Jesus put it this way, another passage of Scripture. It's in Matthew chapter 10, almost done here. Matthew 10, 32. Through 39, Jesus said this. Okay, if you think I'm being harsh, read Jesus' words here. He says, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am not come to set a man at variance. I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. Again, in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, Jesus said, to enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it. Again, in Mark chapter 16. One of my favorite verses in the Bible. Mark 16, 15. Jesus said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Okay, the disciples of the early church carried on this message. Okay, Luke put it this way in Acts 4:12. Many of you know this verse. He said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Okay, that message permeates the new covenant. Every writer refers to Jesus as the Lord, the Savior, the Redeemer, the Messiah, the one that was coming to save us from our sins that we must believe on. That is the entirety of the gospel message. Jesus or else. Okay, it is following after him. That's why it's considered good news, right? We've got an out. We don't have to perish. You don't have to die. Your friends and family don't have to go to hell and spend an eternity accepting the consequence for rejection of Jesus. You know, people like to skip over passages like these sometimes because they don't want to seem too narrow-minded. Okay? But that is exactly why so many people today are on their way to hell and they don't even know it. They don't even recognize it. You know, I get it. If somebody wants to go to hell and they say, I think it's a great party, I want to go there, let them go. They can do their thing. I'm still going to share Jesus with them. Okay? But it's these people that are around us that they have an understanding that, yeah, God, church, Jesus, yeah, but those are the ones that my heart aches for. Those are the ones that I want to see where they just need to know that this is a welcome place, or you can stand next to them and share what you know. I was going this way. I was going to hell, but now I'm not. That's all you have to say. And they'll be like, how? Well, it's through Jesus, through faith in him. You just presented the gospel. People quit speaking the truth in love like Jesus did. Okay, he wasn't being mean. Okay, do you think he was being a big meanie? You know, is Jesus being rude by telling people exactly how to get to heaven? No. And you're not being rude by telling people the gospel either. It is nothing to be ashamed of. It is nothing to feel like, well, I don't know if they need to know it. I don't know if they'll want to hear it. It doesn't matter. We need to preach the gospel to every creature. Okay, let them make their choice like you made a choice. Okay, you should make it a point to tell someone about Jesus. Invite them in to the feast. Okay, invite them to feast at the table in the kingdom of God. Okay, and that's all it takes is a little invitation to encourage some people. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we're praising you this morning, Lord. I know that your word is life unto us, Lord. You've spoken so many things that, Father, I pray we don't skip it. I pray we don't miss it. I pray we don't look past it or downplay it in any way. I pray that as we read your word, that verses like these will stand out, jump off the page, will bring a holy conviction inside to say we need to be sharing this life-saving message, this eternal life-saving message with the people that are around us. Father, we are yielded vessels to you this morning. We want you to have your way, Father. I pray that every heart and mind in here that is sensitive to you, that will yield themselves, that will hear your words this morning, will either make that choice right here, right now, saying, I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ with all my heart. Or, Father, for those that have, may you help them make that choice to share that message, to help people come to the point where they get to make the choice, where they have an understanding of what's at stake. They understand that your plan is perfect and simple and easy. It is just and right. It is perfect in every way. And Lord, help them to see the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Help them to see their need for a Savior. Help them to see that all have sinned and fallen short of your glory, that all of us need the hope that comes through faith in Jesus Christ, the eternal life and the things that are granted because of that faith. Lord, we trust you this morning. I'm praying for opportunities. I'm praying for opportunities for each and every person in this room to be able to present and share the gospel through the way they live, through the words they speak, through sharing of scripture or just sharing of life with someone to be able to help them know and truly believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, lay it upon our heart and don't let us forget it. That message has been shared with us that we are to go and to compel them to come in. Father, we're trusting you. I know that you'll do this work in our heart, Lord. I know that we'll yield to you. I believe for that, Father. We trust you. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name we say, amen. Amen and amen.